good evening and welcome to House of MNSM Talk Radio. And now coming into the studio are the two engineers of this leather kink madness, Master Noel and Sir Mark.
I found it. I had to play it. I couldn't find it. Fuck, we were starting the show. Pup Dakota, we'll stay on this for a little bit. Pup Dakota says, Master, the point I was making is that when we first started talking, you asked all kinds of questions about how I was trained by Papa, and this last weekend, you kind of got a snapshot of how I was brought up in the leather community. The Ravens were very... Oh, he didn't finish the statement. So basically, I'm assuming he's going to say they were like kind of the same, you know. You have to go...
Take the good and take the bad and, you know...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't... Yeah, okay, let's just leave it at that. It's good. You know what? When we go to an event, and it's funny because I just typed this in the chat. Oh, wait. The Ravens were very close to the Enforcers, being from RI. We all have a lot of the same styles of training, which for the most part is not existence compared to how you and your family show respect and train boys and their knowledge of their community. Again, too, I mean, around those times was just after the big, you know, where we lost so many, you know, people that actually had the history and such, you know, they all kind of died. They did. But, I mean, you're right. If we can go in and it may be archaic in some people's eyes and it may be, you know, they don't get it or they don't care to get it or whatever. We're still trying to at least preserve something. It may be our interpretation of it, I guess, but we are still trying to preserve something in regards to it. So
that, and I think, again, it shows people that there are options.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that you don't have to behave this way if that's not you. You can mm-hmm. behave this way.
Right.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't judge. I juge.
Is that like juice?
No,
is that
no.
like an
juge? It's in French. In French.
Okay.
It's just it was supposed to be a joke. You didn't. It went right off your bald head.
What? So, all right. Now here's another. Let's go move on to a different topic. Just because, you know, I like to bounce around today. Maybe we'll bounce around later tonight. So I read this article, and I will say I'm going to post it into the chat room. So if you'd all like to listen up, cuddle up, boys and puppy dogs, I'm going to tell you a little story. Now, we all know Sarah Palin, right? The former vice presidential candidate. Well, I'm going to read verbatim from this article. Sarah Palin claimed today that the Malaysian Flight 370 may have vanished because it mistakenly flew too high and ended up in heaven. During her appearance on Fox News last night, Sean Hannity asked the former vice presidential candidate for her thoughts about the aircraft, which has been missing for nearly 2 weeks. The former Alaskan governor stunned viewers with an unorthodox new theory that international investigators have far ignored. And I will start to quote here. I see all these smarty-pants people on CNN saying that there was terrorism or a fire in the cockpit, she explained to a bewildered Hannity, but I don't hear anyone talking about the God possibility. I mean, what if they accidentally flew too high and got stuck up there? I'm no expert at international aviation, but I do know that God is up there and looking down on us. And everyone knows that once you go to heaven, you can't come back. This would explain why we haven't found any wreckage in the ocean and why no one saw the plane land. The radar had the plane at 45,000 feet. Well, it's above its usual cruising altitude. Who knows how much higher they went? Of course, the loony liberal media can only imagine secular explanations for this mystery. They would never tell the American public that God might be involved. But I hope that the Malaysian authorities and the NTSB take a look at the facts and seriously consider the idea that this flight crossed into Christ's kingdom and isn't coming back. How do we feel about that?
I think I would still take her over Ford. Because as dumb as she is, she's less dangerous.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. Then I kind of thought, boy, Neil and I talked about it, and I thought, well, I fucking better check this. So I went back and I looked at it. It was from a publication called The Daily Current, Curant. And it's, they have different things. They make shit up, basically. And it's satire, right? They just make fun of these people. But it was funny as hell. I laughed, and it kind of just made, you know, it made me feel good. It was so funny. But then I thought, wait a minute. They did this because, of course, she is famous for saying stupid shit. So I have got the top 10 list. This is about.com political humor. The top 10 dumbest Sarah Palin quotes.
I see Russia from my house.
Yep. This is what she said in 2000, or I'll just read them as they are. As Putin rears his head and comes into the airspace of the United States of America, where do they go? It's Alaska. It's just right over the border. Sarah Palin explaining why Alaska's proximity to Russia gives her foreign policy experience. Number two, Mr. President, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a nuke is a good guy with a nuke. Sarah Palin on how President Obama should deal with Russian President Vladimir Putin. In 2014, March 8th, this month, she decided to say that. What a stupid cunt. Number three, the America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so his bureaucrats can decide based on a subjective judgment of their level of productivity in society whether they are worthy of health care. Such a system is downright evil. That's Sarah Palin in a message posted on Facebook about the Obama's health care plan. Clearly, she knew nothing about it. Number four, all of them, any of them that have been in front of me over all of these years. That quote is Sarah Palin, unable to name a single newspaper or magazine that she reads. What's what you read? Well, whatever one's in front of me. Yeah, okay. Let me see, five. Oh, this is awesome. Well, let's see. There's, of course, in the great history of America, there have been rulings that there's never going to be absolute consensus by every American. And there are those issues, again, like Roe versus Wade, where I believe are best held on a state level and addressed there. So, you know, going through the history of America, there would be others. But that's Sarah Palin, unable to name a Supreme Court decision she disagreed with other than Roe versus Wade. So they said, so what other one? She memorized this Roe versus Wade one, and they asked her about anything else. She couldn't come up. That was her whole thing. Where's the other ones? There's a couple more. Which one did I really like? The quote number 10 is, oh, good, thank you, yes. That was Sarah Palin after a notorious Canadian prank caller posing as a French yes. President Nicolas Sarkozy complimented her on the documentary about her life, Hustlers, Nelvin Pavin. So that was like a stupid porn, and they said, oh, it must have been about your life. Isn't that nice? And like, seriously, oh, yeah. Stupid is yeah. She? Anyways, that was just some fun. Yeah.
You just gotta love her.
I don't, though. I truly don't. She's, you're right. She's kind of.
She's special.
She is special.
She's special in her own kind of special way.
Kind of special way. So, I can't hear anything, but that's all right. So, it's funny how, you know, when they do stuff like that, that's actually real. I'm sorry, Mark. Can you still hear?
I'm still here, I think.
I'm not hearing at all. All right. I'll fake it.
Yep.
So, what else are we gonna talk about? We talked about last night a little bit. We did our Black Eagle.
Our Black right? Eagle, yeah, yeah. Our Claw Nation, the first Canadian Claw Nation party.
Yeah.
Actually, talking about it, somebody mentioned to me about that when he was Mr. Leatherman Toronto in his reign, he had tried to do the same thing and. He went through a lot of trouble during his reign because the support wasn't there and so forth. And one of the things he mentioned was how he didn't know how to because the fundraising laws between the U.S. and Canada are so different.
Yep.
Now, because we have our non-for-profit charity thing, that is how we were able to go about.
Well, why don't we... take a quick break, and we will talk about that when we come back.
Sounds good.
Okay.